Welcome to Courtside, the official England netball podcast. I'm Lindsay, and I'm excited to say that this time on the pod, I've got something a little bit different for you. To celebrate UK Coaching Week, I'm exploring all things coaching from grassroots right up to international level, asking the big questions. How do coaches get the best out of their teams? What challenges do they face? And who coaches the coaches? Coming up, I'll be speaking to Netball Super League winning coach Vic Burgess about her journey to the top with Loughborough Lightning. But first, to help me delve into the wonderful world of coaching, I've got two brilliant guests with me. Sarah Green is Performance Pathway Coach Developer at England Netball, and Lucy Lawrence is Coaching Project Manager at England Netball as well. Welcome, ladies, to the podcast.
Thank you.
Hello.
It's brilliant to have you both on in this big week of coaching, but obviously coaching goes on all year, your roles go on all year. Just before we get into things, can you explain what you actually do? So Sarah, you go first.
Yeah, so I guess my role is quite broad, if you like. So I guess it goes down as far as like the franchise pathways. So coaches that work within those environments. So Loughborough Lightning, Manchester Thunder, Surrey Storm. And my role is to kind of like spot potential and work with coaches that have ambitions of kind of like moving into those like higher performance spaces or international spaces. And so we've run like coach development programs for them in the past. And then that reaches up through the Super League head coaches and supporting them with the nuances of what that role looks like, which is everything on the court and then the millions of jobs that I'm sure you know that they do off the court as well. And then right the way up to being really fortunate enough to work with Jess, Sonia, Liana, and all of those other coaches that work within Roses Academy to kind of support, challenge, help them reflect on the roles that they do with the Roses.
And just tell us a couple of things that happen off the court, because as you say, I guess we're sort of know what happens in a coaching role on court, but you mentioned those million other things that they do.
If you take the roles of like a Super League head coach, like They do stuff off the court, which is kind of like leadership or having like challenging conversations. They speak to the media. They might run a PA session or reflection session. And often, you know, as we know, as people working in coaching, our coaching qualifications don't allow for some of those other things that they have to do. So my job is to kind of either facilitate those opportunities with them one-to-one, or I might create a program where we've had like a hostage negotiator come in and do some workshops with them to talk about kind of the real extremes of kind of like managing hard conversations, but we can like use tips and tricks from what they do. And then I guess with Roses, it's more about the real high intensity and continuity of that role and getting like really good continued performances from them. And that might just be the way that we ask a question and when we ask a question. And it's really hard for like coaches at that level to kind of be thinking on the spot like all of the time sometimes. So I'm able to provide an extra set of eyes really and go, oh, like what if we asked it this way, or that was really good, like tell them when it was really good, because sometimes in those environments with all that pressure, they forget about the good stuff that they're doing. So even if my job is just continuously going, that was brilliant, like I really like the way that you did that.
I think that's so true in life in general. When things are going well, we just let them run, don't we? We don't necessarily reward that. And we only give feedback when it's negative. And actually, that can be really unhelpful. Fascinating about the hostage situation as well. I bet some Super League conversations can be like that. Very interesting indeed. And Lucy, you are Coaching Project Manager at England Netball. What does that mean?
Yeah, so that is more in the grassroots and development space. So working with coaches, not in the performance areas, but this is various projects. So, for example, most recently I've been working with community coaches. So there are coaches who run our programs for us at England Netball. So that could be Back to Netball, Walking Netball, Netball Youth Camps, Netball Now. And they make up part of the England Netball casual workforce. So I've been working with helping provide them with more resources, more kit, more feedback, and also just really getting to grips with what they want and what they need. But, you know, the projects could be working more with the club coaches and grassroots coaches. That just changes, will change as the projects develop.
And are these coaches that you're working with, are they volunteers or are they paid?
So it's a great question. Our community coaches are paid. We pay them to run our programs for us. However, we do know that most people in netball have an average of 3.8 roles. So they might be a coach. They might be a community coach with England Netball. They might also coach at a club. They might umpire. They might, you know, be a secretary. There's so many things that people are involved with within netball. So while they are paid in one respect, these coaches, we know that there's a lot of volunteer work that goes on, and the huge part of coaching is working with our volunteer workforce.
It's incredible, isn't it, what people put into this sport. I guess what I'm interested in from both of you is how you got into the roles that you're doing, in particular in netball. Sarah, how did you get into it?
So my background is actually football. I kind of like did sports science, and then I played football at like various places like around the world, like different academies and stuff. And I just loved football and coaching, and just was really passionate about that. And then I got to the point where I couldn't play football anymore. And I was like, right. And I tried to join the gym and just keep active that way. And I was like, oh, this is so boring. Like, I need to join a team sport. And went to a back to netball session, actually. I played a bit of netball at school. I just like fell in love with netball. And my role at the FA at the time was working in coach education and coach development. And I just thought, well, maybe there's more to life than football, actually. And maybe there's something about working across sports and sharing some expertise that football's missing out on, because football is very like, let's talk to football. So, I applied for this job, and I love it because actually everybody I work with knows more than me. They know more than me about netball, but I know quite a lot about coaching. So that puts us in this really cool place where there's no power dynamic. We don't need to worry about who knows more than who, but we're just there to kind of grow, learn and support each other to be better. And I just think that's such a special place to be and such a cool job to have, because everyone just wants to be better. And with the outcome being that we're making the roses better, right? Which is like a really cool job to have.
Listen to that, Lucy. Back to netball is absolutely working, and it's bringing people into employment as well, which is great, isn't it? Were you a player? How did you get into it?
Yeah, so where Sarah was football, that was me in netball, and still is. I'm absolute massive netball nerd, and I've played my whole life. I've lived in quite a few different countries, and first thing I do, almost without any exaggeration, is find a netball team. I've always found it a really good, you know, the social side, really good way to meet people.
What position are you?
I'm a wing attack. I used to say wing attack centre, but it's been a while since I played centre.
I'm just making that transition as well. I used to be a centre, but...
No, I just add a caveat in that I am a huge netball nerd now.
Oh, absolutely. There's you know, more to life than football, Sarah, but there is not more to life than netball.
I agree. 100%.
I agree with that. I had a conversation on the radio the other day about netball, and I said I'm never happier than on a netball court or around a netball court or near a netball court. And I came home and my husband was like, oh, me and our son were just listening to that, so thanks. I was like, well, sorry, but I've said to him I knew netball before I knew you, so afraid netball is the first love.
Oh, amazing.
So yeah, but from a career perspective, I've actually always worked in journalism. I haven't come from a netball or coaching or project managing background until much later. So I always worked on magazines. And then this love of netball just sort of was getting bigger and bigger. And I thought, oh, I wonder if I could be one of those people who works in their passion. I originally became a walking netball host and just fell in love with that and the sort of coaching side of that. Then from there, I did my level 2 coaching and just met some amazing, amazing coaches, which started to spark that sort of interest in the coaching side. And then I worked as a netball development officer in Cornwall, where I live, and from there continued to sort of nurture the coaching on the side. And then this role in England netball came up, and it just was wonderful. So that's where I am today.
Yeah. And I think your story really shows as well that there is a route through to actually working in the sport as well. If you really love it, you know, you sort of go from one thing to another thing and these opportunities open out. So that is fascinating to hear. I do want to ask you both, what does a great coach look like? But just before I do, I just wondered if you've got a standout coach in your mind from your childhood and what you remember from that. Because I was thinking about this and I was thinking, I do actually. And it was my very first netball coach, because I went to a tiny primary school. There was only
50 kids in the whole primary school. So obviously you had to recruit for the netball team from like year three onwards. So I was playing netball, you know, since I was knee high to a grasshopper. But her name was Helen Robinson, and she was actually Paul Robinson, the England goalkeeper's mum. And we honestly lived in the back of beyond. We lived in, you know, nowhere. But so did they. They did live down the road. And she loved netball. And I think that their family sort of passion for sport. And she volunteered. She came into my school and she was my first ever netball coach. And I know that without her, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now, which is amazing. I just wondered if you had a coach. Lucy, you're nodding.
Yeah, well, I love hearing about people's sort of first coaches or the one that sort of sparked that love. To be honest, I would say my current, at the club I play at the moment, the current coaches, what is very special about them and where they bring the spark for me is that I used to play with them as a junior. And so we've gone full circle, really. So our head coach at the moment, Stacey, we would have played as juniors, and I played with my best friend, Kate. And we, having spent a lot of time away from the club and, you know, working in different countries, I've come back and we're all sort of back at the same time. And now I'm being coached by them. And that, for me, has been a really, really cool transition to see how they've gone from player to coach and what skills they've been able to bring from, you know, life and as well as the game itself. People tend to stay for a while, but it's also the new ones coming through that, you know, evoke that passion as well, I think.
Yeah. What about you, Sarah? What sort of makes a great coach and what stood out for you about that person in your life?
Yeah, like I think my job affords me such a good opportunity. I've met so many coaches, like loads of different sports as well. And I say this to Lucy all the time. For me, there's just kind of like a few things that make coaches stand out. You just need to be really nice, like be a nice person, know a little bit about netball. I can really afford people the opportunity to know that you can come to England Netball and we will help you get the knowledge part and the coaching part. And like, that's where that can grow. But if you just lead with being nice and kind and safe, I don't think you can go very far wrong. And that goes from if you're working with like B netballers all the way up to the, like the Roses. Like I'm not, people have to trust me when I say that our coaches have to lead with being nice and being fun and being safe. Their knowledge is just a bit different, but that's the same. Like it's the same no matter what sport, wherever you are in the pathway. Those things are just so important.
As it's UK Coaching Week at the moment, we've had a few people saying thanks, coach, and some videos coming in of people thanking their coaches. And without exception, I think all of them say, I love my coach because they ask about me as a person outside of coaching, or because it's not just about winning, or because if I'm having a bad day, they know how to cheer me up. And the theme of this year's UK Coaching Week is holistic coaching, and we're just seeing more and more that if you, exactly like Sarah says, if you're a nice person and if you care about people as more than just what are they going to, how are they going to perform on court, that's where actually that beautiful culture is created. And that's how you can really, that is really how you get results, because people are happy. And you know, being a nice person is absolutely the best thing you can be as a coach, I think.
We can vouch for that from the Super League, can't we, Sarah? Because when you look at where the table is at the moment, I think the example this year that everybody is talking about is Seven Stars, and no doubt you've done work with them. But all that team talk about the environment and about actually really getting on off the court. And I said to Joe Tripp, who's the player coach there, you know, does that really, can it really change the results? And she said, well, we're sitting in fourth in the table and we've never been there before. And yes, we, you know, we've got players that are maybe not the superstars of the league, as it were, but everybody sort of gels together. And that environment, you must work really hard, Sarah, to look at that with coaches.
Yeah, like, I don't think it has to be on a spectrum of like, if you're really kind here and winning up here, like, it's not that those two things can't be the same. But yeah, and like, I'm really proud of the work that we did collectively leading into the World Cup. Like, I'm so proud of that, the investment that we made in investing in strengths with the girls. So we did a lot of work around like how to lead from a strengths-based approach in terms of our coaching, in terms of our feedback, in terms of the culture that we created, which was not something that we'd, like we had done it before, but we kind of made that like our primary like focus and led with that. And Jess, Sonia, Liana were so good, like they were so invested in that with the girls. And that's not the reason why we made the final. We made the final because we're excellent netballers and the coaches were like brilliant and the whole staff team were brilliant.
And just to remind people, it's Jess Thilby, who's head coach. It's Sonia McClomer, who's assistant coach, and technical coach Liana Leota for England.
Yeah, sorry, I'm being too familiar.
Just because you know them.
But I think we were so good in that space because, you know, our little motto was you already have what it takes. And belief is a really magical tool in coaching. So my job is not to make you better, Lindsay, by telling you all the things that you can't do. And I don't hold all the power. A lot of that power is within you. And that's the coach's job, is to bring out the belief, bring out the magic that already exists in you. So if I'm letting you know you already have what it takes, then actually that already puts you ahead of where you think you should be. Because you're like, oh yeah, my coach thinks I'm so good. My coach thinks I've got what it takes to win the World Cup. Like, that's magic stuff. And you can grow and develop a team off of that magic.
When you talk about the World Cup and sort of leading from strengths, can you just give us a couple of ideas with the players that we would know the names of?
Yeah, I guess if you take some of this, like if you take, let's take the defenders. So if we take like Fumi or Fran, or let's take a shooter like Helen, like we invested time in kind of thinking about what were they good at and what they contributed to the team. And that might be from their perspective. That might be from the coach's perspective. That might have been also kind of on and off court, right? So each of them, like Helen's a bit of a joker. She loves Roger the Cat. That brings a lightness to the team. But also, she's got this, at times, like really unshakable confidence, which also brings some real confidence to the rest of her teammates. So if we can tap into that and show people and really show how we value that about Helen, or we really value that Fumi's relentless ability to get a turnover, like we value that and we tell them that we value that, they know that if they've got to put one thing in their backpack for when they travel to the game, it's that, because we value it and it's really, really useful. Like that's so magic. So we just made sure that every day we were like, remember you're excellent at this, remember you're good at that, and the team needs you to bring that, and we want that, and that's good enough. It's good enough to win the World Cup.
Absolutely, and get us to a place that we've not been before with England netball. And I guess I was just sort of thinking there about the holistic approach that you mentioned, Lucy, and also about these stages that players go through and that women go through in their lives, in particular in relation to netball here, actually. And how you're trying to really open up the game, maybe through certain initiatives, certainly through your coaches. How's that playing out at the moment?
Yeah, so Netball Her is an amazing initiative that England Netball have teamed up with Well HQ. We knew that a lot of research and a lot of statistics was based around men's sport, men's game, men's bodies, and things like injury prevention or life stages. They just weren't relevant or specific enough to women's bodies. So Netball Her, you know, is hopefully addressing that. It's an amazing website that our coaches and anyone can just access, and has things like playing through puberty, menopause, pregnancies, things like kit, choosing sports bras, pelvic health, injury prevention. It's everything that might affect people playing netball. And so what's been really interesting, what we're trialling at the moment, is bringing in some of this Netball Her content for coaches, so that it just becomes part of a natural conversation. Because we know some of these things, like if you take pelvic health, for example, that's not a natural part of most people's netball coaching or turning up to training. You're probably not going to start with these conversations. It has to be much more organic, and you have to trust each other. You know, there can be some conversations that aren't easy to have, I suppose. So we've got some learning offers about the female body, about puberty, that anyone can access, and they're free of charge to England Netball members. And they really do sort of go through how to have these conversations, some really specific things on, you know, warm-ups that could help with injury prevention. And what we've seen that's really interesting is how much players are valuing these conversations being had, especially going through life stages. So maybe being able to talk about the menopause in walking netball, for example, at one of those sessions. You know, a coach might bring this up in a way that is relevant and feels natural and is natural and organic, And the players are so grateful that it isn't just this untalked about thing, that because it is affecting lots and lots and lots of people and lots of players. And so we're trialling at the moment with a back to netball. We've got a 10-week programme that's sort of been relaunched this year. And part of that has brought in a lot of the conversations that Netball Her aims to address. And it's interesting.
It might be something that people don't expect of a coach. You know, you might be expecting them to say, I need you to do more on the centre pass. I need you to think about the spacing in defence, whatever it might be. And not necessarily thinking the coach will also be open to those conversations. And I've interviewed people on this podcast, players, young players that play for the Roses, who've said, my period really affects my performance and how I play in all kinds of different ways. It's fascinating. But to be able to have that conversation with the coach and say, I might not be at my best today because this is happening to me, or actually I get loads of energy before my period, so that might actually benefit us. You know, these are conversations that we simply weren't having 5 years ago. And it's so, so important. And I guess from that, I just really wondered how some of the principles and concepts at elite level, Sarah, can be passed to coaches in the community, because, you know, you guys are talking to each other. What you've seen at international level and Super League level, how is that able to transfer to community?
Yeah, I mean, we've got some really good examples of where either one is leading the way. So I think we can be really proud of how Netball Her has led from like that really good development space and really championed that across the whole of netball. And I think from the performance space, we can be really proud of some of the work that we've done around like the Roses Development Framework, which was stuff that Lucy alluded to there around our physio and S&C coaches champion a Jump High, Land Strong program. So people can find that on our website, which is all about making sure that like if someone's had a bad ankle injury or a knee injury, there's stuff that people can go through to make you, like we all know that like netballers have well dodgy ankles, don't we? And everyone's all this, we would, if netball didn't exist, like the tape companies would go out of business, I'm sure. But yeah, there's such a good program on there, and that we've led with that based off of the stuff that we know, and the physio and the S&C coach, like the research that they've been around, or the elite players, like you say, that they've worked with. So that's really cool. Like there's some really good stuff that we've championed around. What does a really great warm-up look like? How does that look like in Roses? What do we think that we should look like in the pathway? But yeah, like I also think we've still got room to grow, and we have been trialing a few things. So I've had the Super League coaches in with me, and we invited the Roses coaches in. We've done some sharing of good practice. So whether that's about just what lessons that we've learned from international games and test series, coaching insights, how world netball is evolving, even down to stuff like how we share information and data about performance, what are the physical things that we're going after in Roses, so that the Super League coaches can help us, right? And that's what we're trying to do. We're all on the same pathway. So we've definitely got a lot better at that. And I think we've still got some work to do in terms of what does that look like, and how we share some of that appropriately so that they can use it further down the pathway. But yeah, like I think there's some really cool stuff that we've been doing.
I think the availability as well of that information is so key, particularly for commentators as well, because I'm able to read around the edge and sort of say, you know, this is happening. For example, Sam Bird took her team down to Seven Stars the night before instead of traveling on the day. And it's about those one percenters and what a coach is sort of thinking about and bringing to. We simply weren't having, again, those conversations 5 years ago. I have to ask you though, Sarah, I've got to ask you. Yes, the sharing of information is so, so important, but these are Super League coaches. They do not want to pass on their gems of what, you know, really works for their team, because they've got their own styles and things. So is there ever any, you know, hostility around, well, I coach like this and I coach like this?
I have to be honest, that was the one biggest thing that I was like really nervous about, running a program like that, and how beneficial would they find it. Do you know what? They're all so good. I've been in a room with them where they've been like really vulnerable about kind of like their own thoughts and feelings about their performances. They're your competitors, right, at the end of the day. And I think they've been absolutely like really top draw, especially when times have been difficult through COVID and stuff like that. They were great support to each other. So they are strong, strong competitors. And like, don't get me wrong, like I was at that game on Friday night too. They take no mercy in the way that they go out to kind of like beat each other in those competitive opportunities. But off the court, those coaches, those women are a really, really good support to each other.
And how do you transition from some of the players that we know really well on the international level that might be coming towards the end of their careers, say, but are interested in coaching, maybe show a bit of flair for it? I know Joe Harton is making a transition between playing and coaching at the moment. She certainly went with the Roses on the New Zealand tour, didn't she? What's that like to work with?
Yeah, Joe is a super cool person to work with because she's such a good student of the game. Because it can be really difficult for a person, right? She certainly acknowledged that she couldn't kind of do the back-to-back nature of like the Roses. And that's quite a tough transition. And then, you know, there were some conversations about the value that we believed that she could add in that environment. But that's not handed to a person. That's not like, oh, automatically we think that they're, you know, they might make a good coach, or it's not a given. There's still a lot of learning that's involved in that. And Jo is a super, super good student of netball. Like she's always messaging me going, Sarah, like what papers can I read? Or we ended up in a chat about jazz music because I was reading some academic work around jazz and what we can learn about learning from jazz. She was telling me she loves jazz music. So basically just being netball geeks together about how we can help people learn. But she's really cool. And I think that if we can provide those opportunities, the wealth of experience that those people have got about the international game and the stuff that they've got inside, if we can get that out and share that's perfect. I think that will serve the game really well. But yeah, we have recently tried another little project with the NPA actually around a little bit earlier, catching people in a little bit earlier rather than waiting until the end. And that was open to Super League players this season who were like playing across all teams. They like put their hand up if they wanted to come on an England Netball Level 2. The NPA supported with organising it so we could kind of catch everyone, if you like, and try to negotiate all the training nights and the games. And that's been, I went to the practical day a few weeks ago. That was really good. Like Berry's on that, Berry Neal, Joyce and Vula, Ellie Ratu, like there's like 12 of them. And they're just kind of gone, yeah, I'm interested in coaching. And if we can get them earlier, that means that they're playing, they're getting a bit of coaching experience. They might not go on to be coaches, but it gives them some more options.
Yeah, that sort of more holistic approach that the 360, as it were, what's happening on the bench for those people, no doubt influences your play as well. I'd love to talk to you, Lucy, about opportunity, but I just want to give you a little stat because 56% of active coaches in sport are male versus 44% who are female. But the figures collected from the Big Netball Conversation in 2022 suggested that 96.4% of netball coaches are female. So I just wondered, you know, what is the opportunity there? What are the challenges? Is it a benefit to our sport or is it a hindrance, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, netball is a female-dominated game. We know that, especially in England. And most of our coaches are female. It's interesting hearing Sarah talk about the players who are being given coaching opportunities a bit earlier on, because I think probably historically a lot of coaches are people who have played, maybe come to the end of their playing careers and transition over to coaching. But I think that's definitely changing where, you know, coaching it's a completely different thing to playing, a completely different thing to umpiring. And the skills that you have as a coach or require as a coach are completely different to just being in the netball family, I suppose. So it doesn't surprise me that most coaches are female in netball. It's brilliant because, you know, going hand in hand with something like Netball Her, it means that we're just really understanding the people who are playing and the fact that coaching these players is about more than just what do you put out on court. It's about what's happening in your life, what's happening in your life stage. And those coaches are a bit more able to understand that. We welcome any and all coaches. So in the community coaching space that I was talking about, we have 130 community coaches that run our programs for us, and we've just welcomed our first male. So that's very exciting. That will change that stat from 100%.
What's his name?
His name's Paul Holloway. Shout out to Paul. You know, and that's really important too. We want a diverse bank of coaches in every way that we can, and we don't want to act that we know everything that people want and that coaches want. And so the more people that we can attract to become coaches, you know, the more we can listen to what they want and then provide that. Because ultimately, as the national governing body, we want to help, we want to provide resources, we want to provide support, we want to connect these coaches with each other. And so, you know, the more voices in that conversation, the better, really.
And I love that you've talked as well about it's not a one size fits all. You've got the sort of real broad spectrum of where people can enter the game, which is just so encouraging, isn't it? Because when you're thinking about maybe going back to netball, it can be a bit scary sometimes. You sort of think maybe I haven't played for a long time, or I can't remember where I'm allowed to go on the court. And the coach has a big role in that. Final thing from you two ladies then, and I'm going to speak to Vic Burgess about how some of these things are playing out for the head coach that's in charge of the Super League side that are currently the champions. What really excites you in this space at the moment? You know, what do you think is next that you're really getting behind? Big smile from Lucy, you go first.
Yeah, okay, I'll go first. So for me, I'm really excited that it feels like we're at the beginning of a really exciting time for coaching. From everything I've seen within the grassroots, within the development space, we've spent probably the past 6 months really delving into what coaches want, what coaches need. There's a long, long way to learn there. And the more that we can learn, the better the offer we can give. And so, for example, this week, we've just relaunched our coaching social media pages, and we're already getting lots of people, you know, using our resources and telling us what resources they want. That's really important for me and for us to be able to address the best way that we can help coaches. There are literally thousands of netball coaches out there in all weathers every day of the week, and the challenges that they face will be completely different. And, you know, I want to know them. We need to know them. What I'm excited about is encouraging people to get in touch and tell us, jump on our social media, and, you know, we've put together a bank of support for our coaches, and that's only going to grow and get more and more and more. So yeah, I am really excited about coaching in within England Netball at the moment, because it's a priority and we want coaches to feel loved, because they are amazing, and without them the sport doesn't happen. And, you know, it's UK Coaching Week, but this isn't the only week that they should feel appreciated and loved and supported. So yeah, absolutely excited about it. It feels like, hopefully, a good time to be a netball coach.
Oh, I can tell that you're really passionate about it. I can see the big smile. It's so lovely. And I think, you know, Sarah, blimey, in that World Cup final, I think everybody became the England netball head coach, didn't they? Everybody had got a strategy on how it works and what you do. But to actually be in that role, Jess, they'll be seeing that team through. What excites you working at this elite level with coaches?
Yeah, I think our direction of travel is so good. I'm going to do a little shout out to Lucy, actually, because I think one of the things that's really special about this at the moment is, I think in the past we probably could have said that we weren't that joined up, and it's really hard to take the realities of what's happening at performance and try to share that across the whole business, across the whole of England Netball. And I think Lucy's doing a really good job of kind of being my champion and sharing some of that information, you know, making sure that wider community of coaches that maybe it's harder for me to connect with, because I'm up here loving this other group that need my attention and kind of wanting to support them. And Lucy's doing a really brilliant job of kind of connecting that. So, you know, I came from a sport where it was really hard to have my elbows out and kind of show people that I was a really good coach. I want women to know that netball coaching is a really viable career for them. I want them to know that they belong, and I want them to feel like they can be a really, really good netball coach. And that's what this space is for. And so if that means that the stuff that we're doing around Lucy, getting them involved and getting them connected and showing them that there's all sorts of ways that they can be involved in that sport, and then that they work out that, like, do you know what? I can really do this. Then they transition along, and that's where, like, I'll be for all the programs and all the things that we can kind of look to support them to go, yeah, like, this is a serious business and I can make something out of that. And our direction of travel is super exciting for that. Like, the way that the Super League will continue to evolve, and more and more, like, full-time, like, part-time roles that will be suitable for kind of women working in the game. And the direction of travel for Roses is pretty exciting. We're really good and the players are really good, and we're kind of moving into a space which demands a lot of those coaches, and that's super exciting for me. And I think all of that stuff will start to trickle down into all of our offers. Like, we don't want to keep all of it a secret. There's some bits that we might have to keep a secret just in case Australia are, like, spying on us or anything like that, and, you know, snooping around on our website. So we can't share all our deepest, darkest secrets. But there'll be some stuff that we definitely want to share, because we want all of netball to be better, because that makes Roses better.
I always want to try and sneak those things into a pod, but I know you're not going to tell me, and I totally get it. You know, we're building through the next 4-year cycle. It will be my pleasure to ask Fit Burgess where she is on this journey as well, with the work that's obviously coming right up through the grassroots and into the elite and international side of things. Ladies, it's so brilliant to talk to you. I have to tell you, the final thing I want to mention is the piece of advice I was given by Helen Robinson. And it was, Lindsay, you're small. You're probably the smallest one on the court, but you can run faster than everybody else. And that's your thing. And I was like, yes, that's my thing. And it has been my thing all the way through. And I continue to play centre at the age of nearly 40. Transitioning to wing.
But you know what that is? That's strengths-based coaching, right? So she didn't bother to tell you all the stuff that you couldn't do. She told you the thing that you could do really good. So shout out to Helen, because that's some excellent coaching there.
You well done, Helen.
Yeah, really good. Thank you both so much for joining me on the podcast. It's been a brilliant conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lindsay.
What an insight, hey? Hearing about the coaches behind the coaches and the work being done by England Netball to create that community feel within the coaching space. But I wanted to find out how the principles work in practice. And who better to speak to than head coach of the current Netball Super League champions, Loughborough Lightning. Vic Burgess, great to have you on courtside. Welcome along.
Hello, how are you doing? Thank you very much for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Now, what kind of coach would you say that you are, Vic? Are you a fan of the hairdryer treatment, or is encouragement more your thing?
I would definitely say I'm not a hairdryer treatment type of coach, but I think I'm more of a give information, let's work through it, support the athletes through it. But I think there's definitely times where my tone will change if we know that we're not where we need to be. Yeah, so I think that can be impactful as well.
I think you're always very honest with me when we speak both before and after matches, but I can definitely tell your standards are so high. I can tell when, you know, you want more from the team, and also when you're really, really proud of them. But I guess for just thinking about your story and where you've come from, where did your coaching journey begin? And can you remember the sort of key moments maybe that got you to where you are now?
Yeah, I actually played in the Super League in the year that it started. So 2005, I was up in the northeast for Team Northumbria. I did my sports development and coaching degree up there. And while I was playing, I just got involved in a bit of coaching and did my level two qualifications in, like, I think it was 2009. Then I just started exploring just more in netball coaching from a club level at my local club, Hawkesway in Hartlepool, and then did some county coaching and some regional coaching. So just kind of worked my way up and kind of took the opportunities that were offered to me. And then I picked up a role in the Northeast as regional XL coach, which was basically the kind of franchise pathway leads that are current in position at the moment. So I did that for about 10 years in the Northeast. And then throughout that, got some opportunities to work with the kind of National Academy at the time, which is the age groups, England age groups. Got some opportunities to go on tours with the youngsters that were coming through across the country over to Australia and New Zealand. And in that space, got to work with some really fantastic coaches. And I suppose for me, I always loved playing, but I think it felt quite natural to go into coaching and to get those opportunities and kind of, you know, get out of my comfort zone and just say yes to when those opportunities were put to me. Yeah, I think for me, that was a big thing to, you know, I really enjoy doing it. Like, if I enjoy doing it, why don't I try and do it as much as possible? Yeah, so that's kind of where I got to from a Northeast perspective. And then I moved in, down to Loughborough University in a similar pathway role in 2018. And then 2 years later was offered director of netball at Loughborough University when Sarah Frances Behrman left. So yeah, along those ways, you know, worked with fantastic coaches, got some great opportunities and feel really lucky to have those opportunities. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm at today. Season three, midway through.
I mean, all that and you're only 25, Vic. It's very impressive.
I wish.
No, but seriously, your journey, it is sort of wonderful to hear that those stages and those steps are there. If people are thinking, you know, I'm at the beginning of my coaching journey, or I'm sort of halfway through. And obviously now you're in a position with Loughborough Lightning where you are the head coach of the champions of the Super League at the moment, and you're going again this season to try and do that back-to-back win. And I think, you know, that the sort of pressures no doubt have changed over your career. How are you feeling this year, knowing that you've got that sort of target on your back, as it were?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a privileged position to be in. You know, we've worked hard to get into this position, and Loughborough Lightning over the past kind of 7-8 years has been very like a very competitive team and in a real kind of elite performance environment. So I feel really lucky to be part of this environment and the support that, you know, that we offer to our squad, and the support that is offered to me through the staff and coaches that I have around me. You know, you said about my journey. The biggest thing for me was I loved my journey of going through all those steps, because you get to work with, you know, youngsters, you get to work with seniors, you get to work in different environments, and everything is different and your priorities are always different through all of those stages. It's great to be in the position that I'm in, and I think the pressure of kind of winning back to back is just something that, don't get me wrong, at times it's stressful, but I feel like it's a great place to be, and a privilege to be in, and also a privilege to be working with such fantastic athletes.
We've been talking to Sarah Green on the pod, who's performance pathway coach developer with England Netball. And I know that you've done some work with her, and no doubt, you know, the sort of pressures of coming into this season, looking for that back-to-back of something to do with that. But what would you say are the surprising things that you've learnt with the coach's coach?
Yeah, I think I found it really useful to have somebody to just sound off. The first year that I took this role, I think 2022, where we were heading into the finals, and, you know, it was my first season as a head coach, and I at that point did feel a lot of pressure. I think the pressure I put on myself was, have I done everything or given them everything they need for them to perform to their best? Are they fully prepared? And I remember in that week in the build-up, I probably quite like isolated myself quite a lot. But at one point, I was just sat in the garden and I just thought, I just need to ring Sarah because I just need to sound off like why I'm feeling this way. So I think there's a couple of ways that, you know, Sarah's been really helpful to me. There's times where, you know, it could be just a bit of an emotional support, also just a reminder of like how we've got to where we've got to, but also just, you know, giving you a bit of reinforcement as to why you're in that situation and, you know, stop panicking. You're about to go into a final and it's awesome. The other side of that is, you know, the build up to that, you know, to have a really strong relationship, to be able to kind of, you know, speak to her and be honest and about how I'm feeling isn't something that just, you know, you don't just kind of meet somebody, you just come across and open up like that. So there's an element of just building some trust and doing the kind of legwork before and getting to know your kind of coach's coach and somebody that you can trust and help and guide you through things. I also think there's a space in there for like coach development. So Sarah would often just ask me, you know, challenging questions like, why have you done this? Why have you done it this way? And it's not to kind of say that way is wrong. It's just, you know, what have you got out of it and how can you improve? You know, so I think for me, that kind of coach's coach and Sarah for me was really useful and really thankful for the support.
I hadn't really thought about it like that, but you're right. Sort of having those questions put back to you rather than always questioning the team and asking more of them, having someone else to come in and say, well, why have you done that, gives you a totally different perspective, doesn't it? That's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've been talking about the holistic approach to coaching and how the team environment can be really important. And that's not to say, by the way, that if you're super nice, you're always going to win, or if you're losing, that you're not a supportive coach with a great atmosphere. That's not what we're saying. We're saying it's about finding those connections on a personal level. And I'm seeing across all the franchises in the Super League this year that people are talking more about that atmosphere. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, definitely. I think my personal values is I really care about the person. So when you say holistically about your team, it's not just about that team, it's about each person and individual within that team. Like, how can we support them to be the best athlete they can be? But also, they're also a person and a human, and they've got stuff going on outside of netball. They've got some, you know, they might be a student, they might have work full time. So it's just how we can kind of support them to be the best athlete they can be, but also, you know, in their home life, what do they want to get out of that as well? Like, what are their goals in their home life too? And how can we help them? But I think from a team and culture perspective, yeah, I can definitely see those connections across other teams as well, which is great to see. And there's a big emphasis on like fun, enjoyment. And that's something across our program. Like, you know, there's no point doing it if you don't enjoy it. So we try to make the our sessions and our targets and our, you know, everything that we're going for, like, fun but challenging and learning and competitive environment, which the athletes seem to really thrive on, because ultimately they want to do well, they want to win, but they also want to kind of enjoy each other's company. And because they're there, you know, quite a lot, they spend a lot of hours with each other. So I think, yeah, it's definitely important, that team culture.
Yeah, and I see it on Instagram all the time. I mean, I stalk you all like nobody's business. And I think, you know, the fun that teams are having in those training sessions and outside going for coffees and things, it does sort of build up those relationships on court. I do want to ask you, though, Vic, about challenges as a coach. And I guess you can think about this in whatever way you will, you know, whether it's those personal challenges or getting the win on court. But I remember we spoke at the beginning of the Super League season, and you actually mentioned that 2022 grand final when Ella Clark ruptured her ACL, I think, within the first sort of couple of minutes. And that just really threw the team. And obviously everyone had to carry on after that moment. But there was a sort of real change in vibe. And you said to me at the beginning of the season, we've worked on every possible scenario and we've thought now about what happens should something like that happen. I mean, what is the biggest challenge do you feel that you've faced as a coach?
Yeah, I think supporting athletes through those moments is one of the toughest things. Like, as I said, in 2022, like, we didn't expect that to happen. So when we were planning moving forward, so last season, like, even Ella in our environment, you know, we brought Ella in as a technical coach to keep her connected, use her knowledge. And even in that moment, you know, we did a bit of work with Ella just as she was going back to that venue that she played at. Like, that's quite an emotional thing to do after she'd had such a terrible injury. So thinking about the what if scenarios is something that's on our performance plan. So what if this happens? What if that happens? And just making sure that we try and think ahead of, if that does, what's the plan for it? And I think from the scenario of Ella, like, you know, going into the final last year, we literally had to have that conversation and say, look, if one of the girls, you know, one of our people, one of our friends, one of our girls gets injured, this is the plan. You know, this person will do this, this person will do that. This is what we'll say. This is how we bring everybody back to the focus. So we had a plan for that. And sometimes you don't know what those what if scenarios are going to be until it happens, but ultimately you learn from them, right? So yeah, I think trying to plan for those is something that was important for us.
What do you love most about being a coach?
Working with lots of smart, intellectual, clever, knowledgeable people, not just in a from a player perspective, but staff around me. Like, they're all brilliant. I love to see our team, you know, competitive in training. I love it when they're going at each other, and, you know, it's great to see. But yeah, working with those fantastic people that I've got around me, there's too many to name. And I think one of my most favorite things as a coach is, and this is probably from my pathway kind of coaching days, is seeing the journey of an athlete. So particularly from, you know, there's a couple of players I've worked with from probably like under 12 age group that have gone through to play Super League, and to see their journey is just, it's just amazing. And just knowing that you've had a little bit of a part of that that's helped them get there is something that I've always loved to watch. And yeah, I think that's one of my most favourite things, is to see people succeed when you know how hard they've worked.
Oh, that's really wonderful to hear. What a great thing. And my final question, I would normally sort of rile you for your inside tricks and, you know, what you've got planned for the second half of the Super League, but I know you won't tell me anything. So what I'd like to sort of finish with is your key principles. You know, if someone was saying to you, I'm interested in being a coach, or I am a coach and I'd like to improve, what are the key principles that you stick to?
I think for me, it would be to take the opportunities that are offered to you, whether you feel comfortable doing it or not. You know, you get out of your comfort zone, be open to learning. I think I've learned some great stuff in different environments, not only in netball, but across other sports. Like, how do other people do it? And I think from grassroots all the way through to, you know, performance level, I've been to like my old club like last summer, and I've watched the coaches there, you know, who I've worked with years ago, do some, you know, skills and drills. And I'm like, oh, I'll steal that. Like, don't be afraid to get in other environments And don't be afraid to allow people into your environment as well and observe and have conversations and get them involved and ask questions and be open to be challenged as well. Just all about learning. I don't think anybody's a finished product. So yeah, I think those conversations and those that being openness to learn is something that I've really valued and I felt that has really benefited me across my time and my journey.
Well, look, thank you for allowing me into your environment today. Wonderful to hear from you and good luck with the rest of the season.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much indeed to Vic and all my guests for joining me. And thank you too for listening to this coaching special of Courtside. If you'd like more info on becoming a coach or if you're already a coach and want further support and learning, there's loads of brilliant ideas on the England Netball website. For now, listen to your coaches. They know what they're talking about. Enjoy the second half of the Super League and I'll see you courtside.